Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Prime Time on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game. A unique game. Played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. A short drive from anywhere. Visit dodgeofgresham.com.
That's going to make the f***ing difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, we are back with you here on Friday. Radiothon, final number. Still climbing a little bit, but we're roughly $213,000, as Joe from Carl's Jr. was in here earlier, yep. Gave us the final number from Carl's Jr. So $213K, man, that's the best year yet. So it's thanks to all of you.
Amazing.
You guys are awesome. Yeah, you rock.
We best audience in all of Portland.
Big smelly group hug is in order.
Thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and again to Joe and all the guys out of Carl's Jr. Unbelievable. I think they, $57,000 I think they donated this year.
So we've got some Seahawks tickets. They are playing the Rams, I think, coming up.
You are correct, sir.
And we're giving away tickets to that game. And that's courtesy of Papa John's.
They got the Jags this week, don't they?
Yeah, they're in Jacksonville.
They got a couple of huge games. I mean, it's like you get done, I think, having the win of the year last week, and then you get to go on the road to 8-4 Jacksonville. And then I think the next week you come back, and I'm not sure if that's home or it's home against the Rams. The Rams.
Yeah.
That's a brutal three-game stretch right there. Crisscrossing the country.
And then they play in Dallas.
Is Elliott back for that?
Week 16.
I think Elliott might be back for that
one. He might be. You're right. I don't know. Okay, so Mario Cristobal is about to be introduced as head coach of the Oregon Ducks, and we are going to play it for you.
You are correct.
Mike's not very confident.
No. But, and then you weren't confident in your...
Well, he's not being very committal. I'd like
Mike,
him.
Mike, would you
I'd
just
like
commit?
Hop on and
I found
tell me.
One that has really bad audio, so I'm trying to find another one real quick. But if we need to, I'll do the bad audio one.
Just commit, okay, Mike?
That doesn't sound really like a good plan.
No,
to
it
me.
Does not.
I feel like we need to be a little bit more buttoned up than that.
Mike's not the best in the business for nothing.
It's the fan, folks.
It's what you've come to expect. That sort of broadcasting excellence over the last 12 years. Oh, we'll do what we can. If not, we'll just give you the crappy one.
All right. So,
but I'm guessing that there's a lot of positive momentum with him. I think Duck fans are very excited today, and I get why. And I think they're going to even be more so after the press conference. I have a feeling that, you know, when Jonathan Smith finished up, I thought he won the press conference. I thought he was great. Something tells me that Cristobal is going to stand up and he's going to hit it out of the park, and the Duck fan is going to be very, very excited after it. Just because,
well, if he doesn't, does it matter? I mean, I didn't think Taggart hit it out of the park last year.
No, not necessarily. I just think that right now there's a lot of Duck fans that are kind of pushing all their chips in the middle and trying to make this out to be like the dream hire. And I think a lot of that is you know, I don't know if it's wishful thinking, but I think there is a lot of positive energy going, and I think he's going to keep it going. I think there's a reason he got the job, and the big one is when he got in with meetings. I just think he's an impressive guy. I think he's a charismatic guy. You've heard that, and I think it's going to come across on the podium.
Now, do you care about the president's commentary? I don't mean like Trump. I mean the Oregon president, Michael Schill.
I think it's interesting. I'm interested to hear, you know, what they say about the process and how they ended up deciding on him.
All right. Well, then let's go live Someone to Eugene. Here is the president of the University of Oregon, Michael Schill.
And I said to him during that conversation, I do like winning. Okay. There's no doubt about that. But what's more important to me than winning is the recognition that the men on the field are our students and that we care about them. We care about their lives. We care about how they live their lives. And we care about their education while they're here at the University of Oregon. And our new coach understood that. He expressed agreement with that. And I believe he is someone who will be a truly wonderful coach with all of the right values. And with that, I want to ask Rob to come up to the mic and introduce our new head football coach.
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, and thanks, everybody, for coming on such short notice. Today, I'm proud to stand here with a new era of optimism, excitement, passion, and direction for Oregon football. A few hours ago, I had the chance to meet with the football team and introduce them to their new head coach. Already a familiar face, of course. Over the past few days, with members of my senior staff, I had the opportunity to sit down with some phenomenal coaches who all could lead our program to meet the lofty expectations that we've set. Yet something separated Mario from the group. His commitment to the full student-athlete experience, his fierce desire to compete, his passion for recruiting, his love for Eugene and this university, his stellar reputation with his football mentors, and his vision for what comes next. It is true that many of our team members supported his hiring, but that would be an easy excuse to hire Mario. I would not be doing my job acting in the best interests of this university and our football team if I hired a new coach based on emotion or familiarity. And that is exactly why I'm confident this decision because it's so much more than that. Mario came to Eugene as a champion. He won two national titles as a player at the University of Miami. He won a national title and competed for a second as an assistant coach at the University of Alabama. He took an unheralded program at FIU and led them to a conference title as a head coach. The National Recruiter of the Year in 2015, Mario's penchant and passion for connecting with young men and their families has been on full display here in Eugene for the last 12 months. His love for his students, his passion for football, his immediate connection to our university, his experience as a winner, his ability to manage a program as the top executive, his commitment to academics, compliance, and the student-athlete experience, his wonderful wife, Jessica, and their two sons, Mario and Rocco, his belief that we can win Pac-12 and national titles, his infectious enthusiasm, his desire to go beyond excellence. That is why Mario is our new head coach. I want to thank President Schill, Chairman of the Board of Trustees, Chuck Lillis, and the Board of Trustees for their invaluable support for our efforts over the past week. It is an honor and a pleasure to introduce the new head football coach at the University of Oregon, Mario Cristobal.
Good evening. Where do you start? Tremendous amount of thank you goes out to the entire Duck family. I am beyond humbled and honored to be here today as the head football coach of the University of Oregon. I know this. I think everyone that knows me will also know this. You'll receive every ounce of effort, sweat, whatever it takes to make sure that our student athletes have the best, the finest experience from an academic standpoint and a football standpoint. But before I get into that, there are so many people to thank, and that's probably always the hardest part of trying to put this piece of paper together, right? Make sure you don't miss anybody because, right, you get one chance to do so. So I want to make sure I want to thank the following, President Schill, for, again, everyone involved in this process that have been so gracious with me. Rob Mullins, for having the trust allow me to help guide and lead this program. Chuck Lillis, and of course, Pat Kilkenny, Rob Miletus, and of course, Phil and Penny Knight, who again have always been incredible with us here at the University of Oregon. And you know, oftentimes in these situations, in these press conferences, the players get lost in the shuffle. And I'm a big fan of always making sure that the staff and the players are at the forefront of everything, especially when you show gratitude. And I can't thank them enough. And besides the fact and the support that they showed, the energy and the enthusiasm that they brought to the table during this time, It's humbling beyond words because it validates one thing, that no matter where you are from, no matter where you end up, as long as you're honest, as long as you generally work with the intent to always have the betterment of your student athletes at the forefront, the reward is always the best reward possible, is that they have an awesome experience. So gaining their support and trust to me is the ultimate compliment, and I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. And to me, again, I can't, a couple guys are up there. I see them, typically the linemen, they take up about four or five spaces, you know, with those shoulders right there. But thank you. Thank you for your trust, man. It was awesome. And I want to thank my family also, my best friend, my companion, my dream girl, all right, my wife, Jessica, who, you know, these football wives, it's kind of funny. I always say, hey, you know, we could have had a bigger family, right? You know, we could have gone four, five, six kids. And she's like, yeah, easy for you to say. I'm a single mom during the season, you know. So incredible what she and all the wives of all the staff members, what they do. And my two dudes right there, Mario Mateo Jr. Mario Jr., what's up, buddy? You good? You all right? Okay. And Rocco, what's up, Rocco? All right. The enthusiasm will show later. You'll see it pop out at Austin. But Jessica looks forward to really being involved heavily in the community, and she already has done a number of different things, and that's important to us. You know, our faith is important to us, and so is being able to contribute and give back to the community. All right, so I'm on my way out to Oregon last year, about a year ago, right? I hear all these wonderful things, and certainly the reputation speaks for itself. Years and years of great football and tradition and facilities, a beautiful part of the country, and heard about it, you know, believed it, was ready for it, checked it out, and I expected incredible things. And after being here a year, I can honestly say it's blown away my expectations, completely blown away my expectations, and from every standpoint, because, and I'll get into it a little bit. I mean, for starters, since we are talking a little bit about football and the student athlete, the great football tradition and the great coach that have come before, you know, Coach Brooks, Coach Bellotti, I don't think that the entire country understands the standard that has been set. And now we carry the weight of that. And our players understand that. We are borrowing these jerseys. It's our job to elevate the standard, to create that legacy, and to uphold the legacy, more so to speak. You look at the, you know, Marcus Mariota and the Heisman Trophy that he brought home, and probably the most, I would say, most prolific award winner in the history of college football, with everything he did and the standards that he set as well. The Mariota Center and the rest of the facilities that we have here at Oregon on a national scale, unmatched. The game day experience at Autzen Stadium, because I've been in some good ones. I played in the Orange Bowl now. Don't think I'm that old, all right? The Orange Bowl was actually a really good stadium where incredible football was played. And I know Rob can attest to the days down there. I mean, it was deafening, incredibly loud. It was just an atmosphere that no one wanted to play in. And being here, you know, for the season and watching Autzen light up and go crazy and bring an energy, whether they be swag surfing, air guitar, and whatever they did to create a tremendous advantage for our football team. I need to ask our fans, our family right now, you got to bring it. It's critical to us. It's deep for us. It hits right here, home. And when we come out of that tunnel and we see that, we're a different ball club, so we need that. So I want to make sure I got that out. That's one of my demands, okay, while I'm here. But what I don't want to get lost in all this stuff, you know, I've talked about facilities. I've talked about the stadium. I've talked about experience and all that. I can't emphasize enough of how important it has been and how incredibly grateful my family and I are because of the way we were treated and the hospitality that we've had since we've been here. You know, as some of you know, my parents, you know, they're from Cuba, okay? I guess the best way to explain it, and talking to my mom when I first came out to Oregon, you know, she's a little Cuban lady. She says, oh, Mario, where are you going? You know, this kind of stuff. And I say, okay, mama, it's like this. And I kind of showed her a map. I said, you're in Miami, so you're down here. And I'm going to Oregon, and we're up here. And she says, I know, so far, you know. But I tell you, they made it very clear early that they wanted to teach me the fundamentals and the principles and the values to one day be the best father I possibly could be. And one of those things was to learn how to work and outwork all those around you. And not a day goes by where I'm not thankful for that. You know, there's a lot to talk about. I think it's important to mention that as a football coach, I think the word coach is often thrown around without understanding the value of it. When you're a coach, you're a teacher. You're a mentor, okay? You're a father figure. And when you're a coach, it's real simple. If you want to be successful, have a simple philosophy. Do it every single day as if you're coaching your own son. And that doesn't mean that it's easier and softer and kinder, more gentle. It means that every single thing you do is for the betterment, to maximize the potential of every single student athlete in the program. And that's important to us. One day, these young men, they're going to leave here. We're the final stop before real life. We are that final stop. After this, it's on, right? You know, that little card you guys kind of slash where you get your free milkshake and you got your dormitory, you get in for free. Well, next year, that's the credit card. And you get that bill from Smoothie King and, you know, you get your mortgage sent to you. Your payments have to be made on time. So right now, while we have them, it's our job to make sure that we make these young men the best future fathers, best future husbands, best future leaders that they could possibly be. And you can't fake that. And I want to make sure that that is known. You know, the staff that we have, the players that we have, the important part to us is that we're always operating on a foundation of trust. Okay, because when you have that, then you cannot be broken. And we have an incredible amount of momentum going right now. We want to make it stronger. We want to make it better. We want to build upon it. There is no rest. As you know, in this particular industry, if you rest, you're going to be left behind. And even it's for a day. So the people in this building, the guys that we recruit, what we foster is a DNA of being a relentless worker, doing the right things all the time, not some of the time, understanding that you are what you are 24/7. Okay, you can't be a champion during practice and on game day and then slack off in the classroom. When you're a champion, you're a champion 24/7, and it carries over, and that's going to be a tremendous point of emphasis. Our goal is to make sure they always walk across that stage in that lovely cap and gown, and to make sure that their parents have them or watch them, you know, attain at least one, Steve, maybe two, right? Diplomas. You want to increase the number of master's shots, right? We got to make sure we get that done. You know, when I see you out here, I just think of how many people that we haven't thanked, and you're one of them, you know, and Hawk, and I could keep going on and on, man, and, you know, and don't penalize me if I forgot somebody now. I'll make sure to thank you at some point in time. But I want to bring that up because it's important. But we want to build a program, continue to build upon the program the right way. Over the course of the past year, we've created a lot of momentum, and there's so much more there to be had. And the foot is on the gas. The whole way, no breaks. We've got to go. There's a lot of things to do. You know, on Tuesday, the guys were down. And we had come in here and went to address them, and you saw those faces. They were like, the uncertainty was pretty overwhelming. And I was blown away when I come in. They gave me a little bit of an ovation. And I'm like, hey, man, you know, I appreciate it. It hits home. But I want you to know something. I'm not going to, how do I say this? I want to make sure that I'm not kissing your shoulder. You know what I mean? I'm not here to make sure that I attain your favor for the next 10 days in order to, you know, make this thing, hey, coach is cool or whatnot. We have a responsibility. We're guaranteed 10 days. In these 10 days, we're going to have an agreement. We're all going to go to class. We're going to take care of our responsibilities. We're going to get the best grades we possibly can get. And we're going to play the best brand of football by doing what? We're going to set the identity. We're going to solidify it in the bowl game, okay, as a university, as a program, of what is to come by being relentless, by being physical, by being explosive. We're going to add on top of that, and we're going to send a message across the entire country as to what Oregon football is to be going forward and only getting better. And we're going to make sure that we're also going to send out the seniors the right way so that they continue to build upon their legacy, and that we have a little bit of fun along the way. But make no mistake about it, when talking about the program and the brand of football we want to play, we do want to be that program. You guys kind of have an idea of where I've been, you know, before, and some of the staples of those programs. So that's part of the DNA that I've been kind of raised to believe in, to be that type of program that other programs don't want to play. That's physical, at the line of scrimmage, a tremendous amount of investment in the offensive and defensive lines. A tremendous investment in being an explosive football team, creating explosive plays, being exciting, making sure that our fans love to come out and support it because it's a brand of football they love to see and support to help us gain advantages against our opponents. to be a relentless defense that forces turnovers is disruptive, and to have a special teams unit that creates opportunities and changes the game on a play-by-play basis. But we want to do it the right way. Nothing's going to be compromised. You can have great football and you can have great academics. Our institution is second to none in terms of academics. Our academic center and the people there are incredible. I mean, it's like I walk in there, I feel smarter right away. I mean, you walk in, you increase your IQ by 26 points. But that's a tribute to them. But I cannot, I can't emphasize enough the excitement that runs within not only myself, but the locker room, and the fact that it's real. You know, I was thinking about so many different things that I wanted to say out here today. And I always tell the guys, they know, I always walk into a place with a piece of paper and I start to kind of read it, but then I never see that again. I wonder why I did it. Usually takes up a couple hours. The best thing I could communicate is that, like, my heart and soul is in this one. And I don't know if anyone expects to fall in love with the place as quickly as Jessica and I did, but it's been incredible. So it is our duty, our obligation, and really our mission to make sure that we help to continue to elevate the student-athlete experience here at Oregon while they gain their diplomas, while they make tremendous impacts in the community, while we play for championships on a consistent basis and be that team that we talked about. I know that's a lot of stuff, but you know how it is with coaches, right? Once you get talking, man, it's hard to stop. So if we're good with that, we'll open up to questions.
Okay, all right. There he is. That's the coach, Mario Cristobal.
Looks good on the podium.
Handsome man, isn't he?
He is a handsome man.
His son's name is Rocco.
And he already is my favorite coach because, A, he's an offensive lineman, and he's got a son named Rocco.
Now.
Hey, Rocco!
That was a little long.
Yeah.
He's pretty tangential.
Well, this is a big day for him.
You know,
it's emotional.
Do we want to hear the questions? We need to take a break.
Yeah,
but do we want to come back with the questions? Do we want to hear the questions?
We'll see what happens.
Are you interested in the questions?
Let's break, and we'll noodle with it.
All right, so we've got to take a break. That is the Mario Cristobal press conference live here on 1080 The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, all right. Mario Cristobal is still speaking. He's taking questions.
Oh, Mario, where are you going?
Hey, nice drop.
That is a solid drop.
That's from Mario, right?
Yeah, it's Mario.
Let's highlight that.
Mimicking
his
mom.
That's Mario as his mom.
Yeah. Look, I'm highlighting
hold on, one thing.
Hold on.
Oh, Mario, where are you going?
Going to save that little nugget right there?
Yeah, we got that. We'll save that.
I got you, babe.
The thing that I'm going to take away from the press conference, and it's by far the best thing, is that his kids are Mario Jr. and Rocco.
Yeah.
There has never been a more O-line-y coach in the world. The guy played offensive tackle on two national title teams. Look at him. He's a giant man, and his kids are... His kids are named Mario Jr. and Rocco.
Yeah.
And Mario Jr., Rocco.
He is, you know who he reminds me of?
They're going to grow up and, like, break someone's thumbs. They're going to be loan sharks. I love it.
He reminds me of a football coach.
Yes. Yeah. And you hear
that's
that.
That's my takeaway. He's a football coach.
He told there was a quote in there that I guess when he walked in and talked to the players, he said that I'm very boring. I don't have any hobbies. Football is it. He is.
I want a guy like that.
Yeah, he's all in.
He's
very intense. He's a football guy.
You know what I liked about that whole thing? He kind of rambled there, but
a little bit.
The one thing that I think Duck fans may go, ooh, kind of like that, is, you know, he's an offensive lineman.
Uh-huh.
And he is, or was.
He was a good one.
Yeah, he was a great one. He won a championship at Miami.
Yep.
And, you know, for him to say, hey, listen, this is how I build a winner. Besides all the other student athlete crap that no one believes.
No. You're not going to give a rip about your grades or anything like that. Like, it's about winning games.
He started talking about how you give extra attention to the trenches.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, for Duck fans that watch this thing soar under Chip Kelly, where that was really when push came to shove, that was the area that didn't get them over the hump, that kept them from getting over the hump.
Yep.
I think they love hearing that. And I think it's interesting to, you know, with a philosophy like that isn't a Kevin Sumlin, well, I shouldn't say Kevin, every coach wants to win in the trenches. right?
Yeah.
Like every coach
no one's like,
wants the best lineman out there.
No one's like, I want a crappy old line.
So all I'm saying is, you know, with that being like the emphasis and that being his kind of staple, that's interesting to see if that can be built at Oregon, because the kind of the conventional wisdom is that why Oregon had so much success is that they went away from that, went to smaller guys in the trenches and a fast offense, the zone read and Chip brought in, you know, we all know what Chip did. So this is kind of like, it's just the opposite of that. And it will be interesting to see, because I think a lot of people think that you can only build that where those big boys are, Wisconsin, down in the South.
Yeah.
They're not around here in the Northwest. So can Mario Cristobal build that type of team at Oregon that is known for its flash and its speed and less about its work in the trenches? I think that's interesting.
Well, I also want to see what the offense looks like. You know, how much different is it going to look? Does he come in and try to install, more of a pro style? Is it going to be more of a downhill run game? I don't know. We'll see. Depending on the coordinator you hire, is he going to call the plays? You know, there's a lot of questions exactly how this is going to look.
Hey, yo, Mario.
I say this. Just give it to Herbert and let him sling it around a little bit. Oh, Oregon should be very good next year. But we'll see how this thing ends up looking. A lot of questions.
Well, he wore the green tie. That's smart.
Yeah, power tie.
Because you got to wear the color of the school that you're being hired by. If you don't, you will be mocked.
Yeah.
Because he can't, you know. What if he rolled in with an orange tie?
No, you can't do
that. You can't do that.
You can't wear a red tie either.
So he went, no, you got to wear the green or
you
yellow.
You got to wear the green tie.
Yeah.
He looks good, though.
So he did that.
He looks sharp.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks, young guy.
I don't know how old he is.
He's early 40s. See? Young, like me. 42. Very young.
40 is the new 30.
Vibrant. What else did I jot down? Oh, he didn't name Chip. Did you hear that? He said the lineage of coaches.
Yeah.
And he said,
well, Chip's at UCLA now, so maybe you don't want to.
He didn't name Helfrich either.
Maybe you don't want to give that. He's 47.
Helfrich was fired. You can't name a guy who's fired.
Oh, you can't name a guy who's fired, huh?
No. So you can't name the guy that got fired, or you can't name the guy that's now
in
the conference.
So you had to name you named two guys.
Yeah, pretty much.
Long lineage of coaches, Rich Brooks and Mike Bellotti. He's 47. He's older than I thought.
Yeah.
So he's old. I'm young.
Yeah, you're a spry, 42?
What else we got here? Seemed like a long-winded way of saying win the day.
Well, I'm hoping that he doesn't have a slogan.
With his philosophy. God,
that's my one.
It didn't sound like he did. You would have heard it if he had one.
But it was win the day. It was just explained.
Yes. And I don't, I then put the whole explanation out there and let's just
win the day.
Let's not, we're done with win the day and do something. Let's just, how about just Oregon football?
Just repaint that little thing on the tunnel and just have it say Oregon.
Yeah. Just say Oregon. Now, I'm good. I'm done with slogans at this point. I'm with Dwight on this one. It's just,
okay.
Let's just go with Oregon football.
One more question.
Yeah.
What's his buyout? Do we know?
I have no idea.
Because they are a Mark Richt heart attack away from losing this guy, too. I'm just saying.
It's very dark.
Well, he's Miami guy.
And yet I'm laughing at it.
Nobody expects Mark Richt.
So the first time Mark goes down to one knee on the sidelines goes always that was it Jerry? Who's the Minnesota guy? They kept
Jerry
claps.
Kill.
Yeah, Jerry Kill. The first time that happens, then we all panic. My guess is his buyout's going to be a little bit more than Willie's was.
I know, but I'm just saying. You know, does this guy have the Jim Levitt Kansas State, the Willie Taggart Florida State?
Lord.
Does this guy have Miami on his list?
That's what everyone's panicked. The coach is going to leave.
He's probably going to go to Kansas, though.
I think he's going to be happy here for a while.
Why do you think that?
Because I think.
What if he goes 5-7?
Because I think, well, that's true. I think with success.
You don't know.
I don't think he's hopping programs. I think this is a very good job.
You know what you're talking about.
No, clearly I don't.
Okay, so we decided not to take questions. He's still up there talking.
Yeah.
It's just like, look, we'll get him on eventually, and we'll ask all the great questions that you want asked.
We'll try to bird dog him. We'll try to get him next week.
And we'll get Rocco on, too.
Hey, Rocco!
So we're going to take a break, and coming up here, Bruce Feldman. I think Bruce Feldman went to college with Mario Cristobal.
That's the rumor.
At Miami.
Yeah, that they're buddies, or at least knows him well.
Feldman knows Cristobal well, and we'll get the scoop from Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports coming up. It is 4:34. Here's Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports is going to join us in our next segment, which, believe it or not, is coming right up.
Yeah. Well, the press conference threw us for a loop. We'll get back on track.
Look, he's still talking, by the way.
Well, likes to talk.
I like him.
Rob's enamored with the handsome devil that is Mario Cristobal.
I didn't say enamored. I like him. I just think he's an... You know what it is? I think that some of these guys... And Chip is kind of one of these guys, although Chip didn't have any use for media.
No.
But I think this guy is a little bit better across the board about just, you know, personal relationships maybe. But I think Chip had a little bit of this. I think Scott Frost definitely has this. Other coaches, they're just normal, kind of, you know, like they're just not.
They're not all coachy.
Yeah, kind of. Like, he's definitely a football coach.
But he's not all,
a football guy.
He's not a giant red ass.
Yeah, he just seems like a normal dude who can relate to people. You know, it's like, it's not that hard. Like, it's just, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. That's kind of what you have to do. It doesn't matter whether you're a football coach. You got to recruit, whether it's 18, 19-year-old kids or just coworkers or
boosters,
you're always
coaches, yeah.
Selling. You're always recruiting. It doesn't matter what you do for a living.
Always be closing. Coffee is for closes.
I just think this guy kind of comes across as like, man, I mean, you know, no nonsense, just a nice guy, good guy.
I say the same thing about Cristobal that I said about Jonathan Smith and 90% of the other hires. We'll see you in 3 years.
See,
we'll,
I thought he was.
And we'll figure out then.
Well, it's all about wins and losses. Yeah. Make no mistake. But still, I mean, Taggart last year, I thought he was awkward in his press conference. I thought he was weird.
I always thought that about Taggart. Although now I think it's convenient that everyone's like ripping Willie Taggart apart. What I was always bewildered about by Taggart is you heard that he was this dynamic personality and that he was this great recruiter. And yet every time we had him on, save the time at the Pac-12 Media Day where we started talking about his kids, and I think you saw maybe some of his actual personality, I never understood how he could be so dynamic in one aspect and then, to me, just so awkward and boring as hell when he was on the podium. But behind closed doors, yeah. I guess the guy was
well, he could
phenomenal.
Relate to recruits. You know what I heard about Taggart? Somebody said that a line that he used, have you heard this? The line that he used to recruit other African-American kids mm-hmm. was when he was at Stanford, because, you know, he coached under Harbaugh at
yeah.
Stanford, was if you come to Stanford, you're going to be a six-figure
yeah.
So Taggart had a way. Taggart has his own way. They all have different ways yeah. of being good with recruits, because God, a couple of those recruits were in here last night with Andrew Nemec, and I was trying to talk to one, and I text Nemec. I'm like, dude, I don't know how you do it. You got to talk to hundreds of these kids, yeah. And that's not. It's just they're 18 year. I have an 18 year old at my house.
Yeah.
It's like that's. It's a different
speaking a different language.
Yeah, it's a different thing. But Taggart does kind of have a bit of, I don't know, you can kind of see, it's just a little schmarmy,
yeah.
A little bit. Whereas I'm not sure that this guy comes across that way. Although Chip kind of comes across a little schmarmy too.
Everyone that I've talked to that's had an interaction with him as far as players and whatnot, they love him. And that's, I think yeah. ultimately one of the reasons he got the job, big reason is I do think the players go into bad form, the excitement, I think that held a lot of sway over the decision process.
Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports is next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, 4:48 on The Fan with Isaac and Suk. Last time we talked to this guy, we were down at Pac-12 Media Day. He was telling us all about Ole Miss. Remember that? Remember
yeah.
that? The whole coaching carousel started way back then.
Yeah. Started with a lawsuit.
God.
And then look at where we're at now.
What a zoo. Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports. Do you remember us two clowns from Portland? Yeah. Not a lot of people remember us. It's okay. So did you go to college with Cristobal?
I did. Long time ago. We were both at the University of Miami, and been fun to see his coaching rise going from, you know, he was a graduate assistant back at UM, and then he went with Greg Schiano to Rutgers, and really they got that place. They were a punchline and made them relevant and got them to a bowl game, and then he got the FIU job. I remember going to visit him there, and it was the worst program I'd ever seen. You know, and he alluded to some of that today at the press conference, but you know, so he's seen it all from as bad as it was at FIU to building Miami to being on top at Alabama on Saban's staff, and now he's got a great opportunity at a really good program with a lot of young talent. So I'm curious to see what he does there with the Ducks.
So were you guys buddies then, or you just knew of him, or?
We were friendly. I mean, we've become a lot more friends over the years. just as that, you know, I mean, when I was in college, I had two jobs and I didn't live on campus. So, you know, it's something where I think we kind of connected really a few years out of school most, as I had just started my job at ESPN and he was just really starting out as a coach. And so, you know, it was just one of those things that at one point when he was at Rutgers, I lived in New York City, so I'd see him a bunch and, you know, would see him out on the road quite a bit. And wherever he's been, you know, I'd go see him and his family, you know, when he was in Tuscaloosa and had a chance to do that. Our TV crew at Fox had the Nebraska game this year, so I went over to his house for dinner on the Thursday night before the game. And it's good just to stay connected. And obviously we've talked a lot in the last week or so just about this opportunity and everything that was going on. And it's been a whirlwind because I think at one point, you know, I think he thought Willie was going to stay over the weekend, you know, coming out of the team banquet. Because I know he thought, you know, Willie was pretty torn with it. And then everything went down the way it did. And, you know, I thought he had a decent shot at it because I knew he would respond well. And I know how good of a recruiter he is and guys relate to him. And the players certainly did. And obviously that you saw some of that come out on social media last week.
So are you surprised, though, that, you know, here's a guy that this is the part, and I don't know what kind of hire it's going to be. We'll see a couple years down the road. I'm always interested, though, that a guy last year that he wouldn't have even been considered for this job. And he goes and a year later, you know, he's the O-line coach, run coordinator, and then all of a sudden he's the head coach. What changed from a year ago when he wouldn't have even gotten an interview to the point now where he gets this job?
Well, I think it's one of those things where it's the time and circumstance. You know, I know that there's some hard feelings probably with a lot of Oregon fans about Willie Taggart, but, you know, he definitely elevated the program and got things going and you know, got it cranked up. And I think Mario had a big role in that. Certainly Jim Leavitt did and some of the assistants. But, you know, I think so much of it is being at the right place at the right time for people to get to see you and what you're about. And, you know, I think Rob Mullins had a chance to really get to know Mario better and see how he coaches and teaches and relates to people. I mean, if you look at it, there's a lot of times that people go, well, if this guy was such a good coach, how come these other schools didn't hire him? I mean, you go back, Dabo Swinney's now a top five coach. Nobody else other than Clemson would have wanted him when he got that job. It's just sometimes it's circumstance and sometimes, you know, it's fit. And I think in this case for Mario, it was obviously, you know, the timing, how it was going to play out. I mean, reality is if it's not Oregon, I don't know if he has a chance to get some of these other jobs, which are lesser jobs, you know, just cold. I mean, is he going to go, would he have been a candidate for SMU? I mean, he has no connection to it. And so I don't know why he would have been a candidate over some other places. Whereas with this Oregon job, you know, he'd been there for a year. I think the people inside the program kind of got a sense of what he's about. And also, I think you want a certain level of continuity. FBC, you got 14 starters who are freshmen and sophomores. So I think the Oregon leadership knows that they're building in the right direction. I think they saw this as an opportunity to build off of what Willie Taggart had kind of laid the foundation for.
This is Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports. So at FIU, he went 27-47, but that doesn't tell the whole story, as you alluded to. Can you just kind of characterize what went on there in his 6 years at Florida International?
Yeah, so first of all, when he got there, like, I would call it worse than taking up a startup program, because you take a startup, you have nothing. Well, not only did he have nothing, but he also had academic probation, so they weren't getting full scholarship, you know, the full allotment of scholarships to deal with. So they had, and this is no exaggeration, they had no, like, film library of any recruits they were looking at. They had no infrastructure. They had no academic support. You know, obviously they had major issues to deal with in terms of filling scholarships, but they didn't even have a weight room or any facilities to go to. It was like an office was in a trailer. So when I heard, you know, I remember seeing somebody who covers another team going, look, well, he only won 7 or 8 games and then he had a 3-win season. I was like, you have no idea what they had. I mean, if you think of it just like, okay, compare it to a downtrodden program, it's like, okay, he won it 7 or 8 games 1 year and then he had a 3-win season. Just considering what they had to go with from where they are, I mean, you imagine the worst program in all of FBS football, and it wasn't close to even that.
And so to get them to win a bowl game, to get them to beat Louisville on the road like they did, you know, on national TV was pretty remarkable considering what they started from. You know, he had a bad year. I'm trying to remember if they had a bunch of injuries, and then he had a bad year in his sixth year. There had been a lot of friction between he and the AD at that point. The AD saw it as an opportunity to change. And look what happened after that. I mean, it was just FIU sunk even further, you know, under Ron Turner after that. So it's, you know, it's interesting that it worked out this way on the complete opposite end of the country for him. I mean, when the Miami job was open 2 years ago and Mark Richten ended up getting it, I think Mario was probably would have been the best fit for it. And Mark Richt has done really well, but you look at a lot of the best talent that Nick Saban has in that program, Minka Fitzpatrick, Calvin Ridley, those are guys Mario Cristobal got him and recruited. Now, it's not to say that Nick Saban couldn't have recruited them, you know, had somebody else. It's Nick Saban's program, but a lot of the best players there, he was a big reason why they got them there.
So we know that he's a personable guy. We know he can recruit. Some people have questioned, you know, he's never been a play caller. He got passed over for a coordinator, you know, multiple times. Is he more of a CEO type, or does he bring with him, you know, an offensive acumen in a scheme, or is he more of that, like I said, kind of that leader, you know, Bobby Bowden type?
Well, I think what you're looking at is a guy, I mean, he was a run game coordinator, so he had his hands in that. But I think in terms of the game management, that was going to be a challenge for him when he was at FIU as a young coach. I think he's had plenty of time now, especially under Saban, to kind of get a better handle on every possible game situation. I mean, as he said today, I know he has a lot of confidence in Marcus Arroyo to be the play caller, and I think he's going to focus on his strengths, and then I think he's going to let some of the other people hire to do what they do. And not everybody, I mean, look, I know Mike Leach is a guy who's going to be hands-on on the offense, completely hands-off in a lot of other aspects. And then the key with whatever head coach it is finding out what you do really well and then finding people who do some of those other things that maybe aren't strengths or you don't have time to execute and letting them do what they do best. And I think that's probably what he's going to do, how he manages his things going forward.
Do you think he's able to keep Jim Leavitt? What are you hearing about if Leavitt may go with Taggart or what he's going to do?
I think it's going to be an uphill battle to keep Jim Leavitt. You know, I mean, he's obviously done a fantastic job at both Colorado and now at Oregon. You know, would he go to Florida State with Willie Taggart? I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of interest from Willie to get that to happen. So I don't know. At this point, I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not. We'll have to see. Obviously, I know Mario would like to keep Leavitt there, but we'll see if Leavitt wants to go back to Florida or is going to stay here.
You know, we had heard that maybe Kevin Sumlin was the guy for this job, and then Cristobal won him over late. Is there what? Can you characterize what's going on with Kevin Sumlin? He seems to me like a really stinking good coach who's sitting out there, and there've been a lot of openings that have filled without his name coming up. What's going on with him?
Well, I think after the situation that he had with Texas A&M, I think he's going to be pretty choosy. He could have had, from what I've heard, the UCF job, but ended up, you know, not taking it. And I think there's some other jobs he's had interest in. I don't think he wanted to be at Tennessee. I don't think he wanted to be at Arkansas. I think he's going to be pretty choosy. As far as Arizona State, you know, I know there were some reports out of Texas A&M that, oh, it was a slam dunk. Kevin Sumlin was going to get it. But from what I've heard all along, they were going to go in this direction of Herm Edwards and you know, kind of take a flyer and go in completely off the grid as they've done there. With this job, you know, I think he would have been very interested with Oregon. I mean, it's a really good job with a lot of young talent. I think the question just is in this case, is fit. You know, I think Rob Mullins is very comfortable with Mario. He's got to know him. I think that, you know, I think it could have worked out with Kevin Sumlin. By the same token, I think that, you know, it's just a case of who are you more comfortable with at this point from a fit standpoint. And, you know, who knows, maybe for the year, a lot of coaches, you know, take a year off and I think they get to recharge the batteries. Maybe they go do TV. We'll see what happens with Kevin Sumlin. I mean, he did a really good job at a tough place where no one's won in a long time at A&M. I mean, they hadn't had a top five finish in over a half a century until he got there. So, you know, I think a lot of that wore on him with just how things kind of unfolded there. And, you know, what his next move is, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think there's any jobs that are open right now in college football that I could see him having any interest in now that the Oregon one is filled. But we'll see. I mean, you know, it's a, you, I guess you never know. I mean, he's a guy that some NFL teams may be interested in. That was the case a few years ago. I don't know exactly what he wants to do with the next step, but I think he's going to be pretty choosy at this point.
Hey, Bruce, appreciate you popping on here. Love your insights, and keep up the good work, okay?
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
All right. You're welcome. Yeah, I just hope Mark Richt keeps coaching at Miami for about 20 more years, because if Cristobal has success, they're going to come calling for him.
My guess is there's a significant buyout in this one.
Well, they're freaking better
there
be.
There better be.
This time around.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the Hot 5 at 5, shall we? Giancarlo Stanton.
He says nope.
Is a total front runner. We have the Otani news.
Yeah.
Mariner he is fans. Not going to be a Mariner.
I'm sure Mariner fans just thrilled over this news today.
We'll tell you where he's signing. And the Oregon Ducks have hired a new football coach. And if you literally just now tuned in, you may not even know who it is. But we've been talking about it for 2 hours. But if you tuned in like right now, what a great tease.
Oh, Mario, where are you going?
Going to Miami. We'll be right back at the Hot 5 at 5 next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.